Good morning. Can you all hear me all right? Yeah, we're good. As the parable was being told today, I couldn't help but think about how many of Christ's parables and teachings, also parables specifically, are stories. How much did Jesus actually teach, but what was actually remembered seems to be mostly revolving around stories. We have a lot of the teachings beginning with parables because the story is such an interesting way to connect with us that that's what's most remembered. There was a few days ago that somebody had said, "Oh, I really liked that story you told about whatever it was in your sermon." And I thought, "Okay, well, what was the sermon about?" And I don't know. I thought, "Oh, that's interesting. And I wonder if the case is true also with Christ himself, where the teachings that were remembered so distinctly had to do with stories." And so with that, I'd like to segue into a story. I'll use Jesus himself as a model to tell stories. I'll keep that bait on the hook, so to speak. But in any case, I don't know if you would believe me, but so I've been married 13 years, and this wedding ring that I have, believe it or not, is not my first one. I don't know if anybody else has lost a wedding ring, but believe it or not, this is actually my sixth or seventh. Karen thinks the number's higher, but I think what happened was I lost a couple and I found them again, you know. So, but since I had a habit of losing things, Karen didn't want to buy an expensive ring, which is good, because if this is seven, you know, times, I think there were $20 rings, maybe 30, you know, that would be one really expensive ring by now, but... all this to say, when I had lost my fourth one, we lived in Texas, and Karen's mom had heard that I had lost all these rings, and she said, "You know what? I have a ring that I want to give you." And I was really moved by this. I thought, well, you know, I've lost all these other rings, but she's got a lot of confidence in me that, you know, maybe one with sentimental value might, you know, I might be able to hold on to a little bit. So she went out and she got a gold ring. And I was really quite moved by this. And so the cheap rings, I have no idea. I don't remember where I lost those. But this one with sentimental value, I remember exactly where I was when I lost it. believe it or not, I was on a cruise celebrating my mother-in-law's 35th wedding anniversary. And we went on this excursion and they had planted this plane crash underneath the ocean. And so I was out, I was treading water, and 60 feet below you could see this plane crash that they had set up. And as I'm treading, I feel the ring just slowly slip off my finger while I'm in the ocean. And I try to grab it, and it keeps slipping through my fingers. And then about, you know, halfway down as it gets towards the plane wreck, I just lost sight of it. And so I felt awful, right? I mean, someone gave me something of real value, and what do? But I lost it. So thankfully, I found one of my cheap ones, and so this is one of my $20 ones. But the sense of loss was, you know, it was hard. You know, when it happened, I felt my throat gets, you know, kind of clams up. My heart feels like it drops into my stomach. And so the sense of loss was real. And so if you could relate to this, if you've lost something, we're in great company. In the parable today, we have a story that's compared to what God has lost. We're in great company because God has lost the chief jewel of all of creation. From the beginning of time, he had created humankind to be his prized possession, and he lost us. Not that he lost us in a way that a ring slips off your finger, but we, through our free will, we packed up our bags and said to God, "We like your stuff, but we don't like you." And we left. And so each one of us, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. So each one of us has participated each day in the sin of Adam. In a daily basis, we might not do the exact sin which led us to the pig pen in which we're in today, but each day we reenact it. We participate in the sin of Adam by our own free choice. And so today, we are then given three parables in Luke 15, and the parable of the prodigal son is the third. But all three of them compare what it is that God has lost to these three things. What God has lost was like a man who had 99 sheep. One went astray, and he leaves the 99 on the hill, and he descends to look for this sheep until he finds it. What God has lost is compared to a woman who has 10 silver coins. She loses one of these coins, and she tears up the whole house looking for that one. In both of these cases, when they find it, they greatly rejoice. And the third one we come to today is the parable of the prodigal son. What God has lost is compared to a man who had two sons, and the one he lost through wayward living. And what happens is God is, or the father rather, of the one, he lost his son through wayward living. The son picks up his things. He says, I like your things, but I don't like you. And he packs his bags and leaves, just like Adam. This is a reenactment once again. And God, I'm sorry, I keep saying God, the father in this parable, who does represent God the Father, God is waiting for him to literally repent. When we often talk about repentance, we talk about how repentance is a turning, a 180-degree turn and come back. And this is what the father is seen doing in this parable. Even though the son goes and he squanders everything he has, the father is waiting for him to come to his senses and to return. And there's an interesting thing here in the parable. It says that as he does turn, when he does repent, when he about faces and he goes the 180, it says that the father saw him from a distance and that the father ran. It doesn't say that when the son repented and began to run that the son ran, but when the father saw the son about face and turn and repent, the father is the one who runs. The father is the one who embraces him and kisses him and places on him a garment. It's the father who has received him back for a hundredfold even. And so what we learn from this story, from this parable, is truly that no matter how much I might repent and turn to be with God, he acts 100 times more so than myself. He is the one who's running towards us, waiting for us to draw near to him. But he has to wait for us to turn. And so the question for us each for today, as we begin to prepare for Lent, is throughout all of these scriptures, throughout this time, each one of us knows that we are lost. With Adam and Eve, with the prodigal son, each one of us participates in this sin of rejecting God, and we leave. So we should know, that we are all lost. That like the sheep that's gone astray, I think it's in Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. And so just like the sheep that is lost, just like the coin that was lost, and like the prodigal, we have all gone astray and we are all lost. But the question that we should be asking ourselves today is, have we been found? Have we begun this change and this repentance? Have we begun to seek the one who our soul longs for? As the Song of Songs says. So today I would like us to consider this week. Let us think, you know, we all participate maybe for a day or for an hour or for a year or many years, or even maybe to today, even presently, we are still lost. But we have to ask the question, have we been found? Do we see the one our soul longs for? And so today we are given this chance. We see how our God reacts when we return to him. We see how he reacts, not begrudgingly, not with indifference, but with compassion and with love. He runs to the one who is repentant. And so today, let us turn to him and let us find his embrace. St. Augustine tells us that Christ loved us so much that he came down and he spreads out his arms to embrace us. And yet he is nailed with his arms outstretched, that he has his arms outstretched on the cross as though to embrace us. So let us think of this as we prepare for Lent. Let us return to him and be found. Let us change our direction just as the prodigal. And let us change our life that we might send up all glory, honor, and worship to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.